Hey friends, it's David Landjuli and Margaret Katz-Cann with another episode of the Leadership Deep Dive, where we're going to inquire with each other and hopefully with you, is your life messy enough?
Which is a funny question because I think probably 90 plus percent of the people are like, my life is like more messy than I want it to be, right?
Yeah, so yeah,
What do
but if
we
your life,
mean by messy though?
right, what do we mean by messy? That's a great question.
Because I mean, if we're talking about my house, like, yeah, there's more dog hair on the floor than I wish there was, but that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about intercepting sort of the want to look good, avoid looking bad, saboteur. We're talking about interrupting the hyperachiever type of saboteur, where everything has to be about, looking good and winning all the awards and getting all the recognition. We're talking about interrupting the perfectionist or stickler in us. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about some stage powers like creativity, which is messy.
Right.
Like,
That's not a
I mean,
straight line.
it's not a straight line. Like Margaret and I, one of our creative outlets is writing. And I can share with you that I'm not a writer, but I'm doing some writing. Margaret's more of the writer, and she could speak to her own process and how it works. But writing for me has been pretty messy over the past 10 years. But if I never got started at it because I was afraid of putting something messy out into the world, I never would have, published going on 8 books now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I will say for me with writing, and I didn't do a ton of writing because I think I had very high standards, and I would, write something and be like, this is crap, right? Like so then one of the things that was most helpful is that I stumbled. I had no idea that this was going to be helpful. And apparently it's controversial, like many things are, but it was not controversial for me, which is that I signed up for a writing retreat, come to find out that they do flow writing.
Right.
So you start each session with a, a little meditation to kind of quiet your analytical mind and just feel receptive and be open to like what story wants to come through me. And then you just dump it out on the page, knowing that, you're going to spend time later. You're going to spend time later cleaning it up.
Cleaning it up.
But
Yeah.
just the permission to create was enormous for me. It was so important.
Permission. Permission to create. Absolutely. I love that, Margaret. Permission, giving ourselves permission to create our teams. Actually, right now, Margaret and I are giving each other permission to create these LinkedIn live streams. Now, if you've been watching a few of these, you may have noticed that we are completely unscripted. We come on with a topic like, is your life? We have no idea what we're going to say. And the video filters on this streaming technology is not very kind to each of us. Yeah,
Than Zoom for sure. Yeah.
don't get the picture perfect, even if it is that. On Zoom, but it's certainly a nice, I have a nicer glow to my face on Zoom, and so do you, Margaret. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So no, we're not talking about like intentionally screwing up your life, but this is more in the realm of giving yourself some grace to get messy, get creative, try some things. And
Yeah.
it's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. I want to go in a little bit of a tangent. I know, shocking, messy, right? One of the places that I have been really tuned into recently, just in the past few weeks, is when space feels messy, when it feels uncomfortable, when something happens that's uncomfortable, maybe somebody says something, or, you know, like a bad thing happens, somebody cuts themselves, like whatever it is. And somebody who's really, really uncomfortable with a mess has this capacity to swoop in and make it so that you can't react. You can't actually have a natural, messy reaction for a minute, you know, like they try to pre-clean the space so that there isn't space. And if we allow ourselves sometimes just to have a reaction, you know, it's like watching if a kid falls down, you know, and if the parents sometimes, you know, like, oh my God, are you okay? Like that creates more mess and they will, I'm not okay, I'm crying. But conversely, if we swoop in and we're like, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you know, then we don't allow the child to have a reaction. And as you know, like kids fall down, they skin their knees, they cry for a minute and then it's finished. It's the same with all of us, right? Like if we are allowed to have a reaction, then the space cleans itself. But when people try to come in and pre-clean, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. It's the pleaser saboteur, I would say. A lot of pleasers will want to come in and make, and if you're an S
avoider,
on the-
I think avoider as well.
Oh, avoider. Yes, yes. Excellent. Yeah, avoider also. But that would be like, avoid is just avoid, but that would be sort of like a positive action that an avoider might take. I kind of like, I've never thought about the avoider that way. I love that, Margaret.
Right. Well, like you put in relentless cheer to avoid feeling something that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. 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 That's good. That's good. Right. Also the S, and you know, for those of you out in the audience who have done your DISC profile, S's will try to, you know, create, you know, not allow the mess to get messy. You know, good for the sake of relationship. Typically, you know,
like here's an example. Have you ever like been with somebody and they blew it, right? Like they made a mistake and you're having a reaction, like you love them, you're going to forgive them. That's not even in question. But in that moment, like you just need a minute to let yourself feel disappointed, right? Or to soak up like, okay, I feel some letdown, I feel some disappointment. But the person like swoops in aggressively with an apology.
Right.
And then once they've apologized, like, okay, who's the asshole now? If you're still, you know, expressing like why you're upset.
Right.
So that would be an example of cleaning up a space mess before the arc of it is finished.
Yeah. Right?
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And now, whoop, you can no longer be disappointed because, well, they've said they're sorry. That's an example.
Yeah. Another example, I'm listening to a series of dialogues. I do recommend it's a bit heady stuff. So it's a series of dialogues between Jay Krishnamurti, who was a spiritual teacher.
Okay.
And David Bohm, who was a world-class physicist.
All right, I'm not even going to tell you what I'm reading right now because I'm going to sound way less smart if I tell you.
Oh, there's the lesson. Uh-oh. But we'll get to that in a moment. So anyway, this was a series of dialogues that they had in Ojai, California in 1980.
Okay.
And so the physicist with the spiritual teacher, right? So, you know, I'm cut. If you know me in the audience, I'm kind of interested in this. And this is really about the title of these talks was The Ending of Time, which is provocative. And this is all about ontology or being, or if you're a leader in the being of a leader, as opposed to what you do in the world, who you be. And we talk about this a lot, Margaret. But boy, those dialogues are so messy. It's because they're grappling with very difficult concepts or you know, ideas that go back for millennia, you know, and people have said a lot of things about them. So it's just those, but what that I find is so rich is that those dialogues are, and there's people in the audience and they're like, oh, you can't, and they're like, they're chiming in and that's not right. And, you know, and it's really messy actually, but quite entertaining for that reason.
Yeah. Like reality TV. It was the precursor of reality TV.
a little bit more erudite, but but actually, on this same topic, it's so interesting that we're talking about this. So over the weekend, my wife and I, we were surfing around to pick up some kind of a series to pick up on, you know, and it turns out that the Monty Python Flying Circus is available on Amazon Prime. And I was like, I never really watched a lot of that growing up in the 70s, but, and it is wildly messy, like super eccentric messy. And yeah. We only watched two episodes, and you can see, like, I so get the leadership training that you and I went through in improv, Margaret.
Yeah.
Like, they were improvising so much.
Yeah.
And improv is really messy, but very funny. You know?
Well, it's also like, you know, when you finish a movie and they show you the bloopers.
Right. Like,
those are always hilarious, right? It's always
they are.
That they edit them out of the movie. But yeah. Yeah. We should circle back. So is your life messy enough?
Is it messy enough? Or are you always the person with the manicured haircut, with the no hairs coming on the back of your neck?
Or the answer to that. Yeah.
as you look at my beard today, or the hair back in the bun so tight that your face looks like this. Yeah. You know, no mess.
That, like, that perfectionist streak is, right. It's really not a friend to people, right? True. That energy of judging yourself and judging your product and having a standard that, you know, makes you crazy that something has to be so good or so clean or so, and it's crippling, I think, for people. It's really, you know, it's a big burden to feel like messes aren't allowed.
It reminds me of, there is a art form in Zen, Japanese Zen, where if you drop a cup or a plate of fine china, and it cracks into, you know, breaks into many, many pieces, they will actually put it back together very, very carefully with like a gold glue/paint. Mm. And these, typically with teacups especially, they'll, you know, you drop the teacup, it shatters, and you put it back together, and now you have all the imperfections in the teacup, which people value as very beautiful because of beautiful.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
very creative.
Go ahead.
It's very creative. You've taken something that was a mess and turned it into something beautiful.
Yeah. Do they leave a little piece out sometimes?
No, not that I'm aware of, because not for the teacup, but that's an interesting idea. I like that. Like,
you can see the light through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of a metaphor of, you know, I learn the most and grow the most from my messes, from the messes that I make.
Right.
You know, like, that's when true. I do something perfectly, it feels good, but I don't grow much.
Yeah. I like that, Margaret. I don't think there's any growth in perfection. Or I also think that part of the reason why there's very little growth if there's no mess is that if you're afraid of making the mess, or you don't like having to clean it up, then you'll refrain from making messes, and so therefore no growth.
Right. And you make your life then smaller, and you take fewer risks, you know. Right. You set goals for yourself that you know you can achieve, right? There are no stretch goals if you're afraid of a mess.
Yeah. Surprisingly, and we've talked about this before, hyperachievers will not go after stuff if they think there's going to be failure or a mess, because they're
terrified of not achieving.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. As opposed to it being a learning opportunity, right?
Yeah.
I'm fond of saying, you know, you know this, Margaret, and some folks may know that I train in the martial art of jiu-jitsu, and I want to talk about something messy. You really don't learn anything unless you make lots of mistakes. But in competition, I chose to compete for, let's say, about seven years. And I think I've lost more fights in competition than I won. And I won a couple of championships. But and boy, does that bruise your ego. I can speak for myself. That was painful. But I think I had to go through that that mess of losing on the world stage in front of your family and friends.
Yeah.
To really extinguish. I don't know that I've completely extinguished my ego in jiu-jitsu, but I can tell you that it's much diminished.
Many sizes smaller.
It's my mini me ego. Yeah. So what else, Margaret? Do you have any other wisdom around making, like, intentionally making some messes in our lives?
I don't know. I think permission is different from intention.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know that we need to go looking for messes, although sometimes, you know, we can do some metaphoric, if it feels good to squelch your toes in mud or whatever.
But
I think just giving permission to ourselves and trusting ourselves to be able to clean things up and to repair.
Yes, I love that.
That makes us brave enough to make messes.
Yeah, to permit messes to happen. I like the way you said that, you know. If as a leader, you're allowing, another word, messes to happen, especially in the creative realm of innovation. By the way, that's another sage superpower that you embrace, but can be messy. Yeah. Then you clean up the messes. If that's in terms of, you know, relationship, usually it's in the realm of relationship that the mess needs to be cleaned up.
I think that's true. But, you know, we were talking about writing or creative pursuits earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Give yourself permission to get it out and then, you know, edit later.
The other saboteur, it just came to me, that gets in the way of, I believe, gets in the way of allowing messes to happen or permitting them to happen, is the controller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The controller hates messes. Right? Because
especially other people's messes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it almost always implies that things are out of control.
Yeah.
The mess, right? Mm-hmm. So if everything's tight and neat and orderly and under control, you're not going to go very far. That's, I guess, what we're saying.
Right. Do you remember, David, I know you're of the age where you would remember this, but the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ads where, like, the guy was walking along with his chocolate bar and he runs into the person with the peanut butter. And as a lover of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and the combo of chocolate and peanut butter, that was a great example.
A great example.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, invite you to put your comments down below. We'll respond to them. You know, let's have a little conversation about this idea of allowing your life to be a bit more messy. Right. And we'd like to hear from you, like, you know, some examples when you actually let that happen and it turned out to be a gift or an opportunity. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
Yeah, just if you're learning anything about your capacity to clean up a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's more to come on that. I think that is a, by the way, cleaning up the mess is messy.
Can often be very messy.
Can be messy. But yeah. Apologies at the right time, as Margaret.
Sincere.
Sincere.
Eye contact. And patient.
Being patient, sincerity, patience, and also being open-hearted.
Yeah.
Being open-hearted. And the thing that I struggle with in apologizing and cleaning up messes is I'm pretty hard on myself even after the fact, even after I've made an insincere, authentic, open-hearted apology, which has been received and accepted. I'm still struggling with my inner critic who is criticizing me for making the mess. So yeah. That's room for me to grow. And maybe some of you in the audience also, that may be room for you to grow there. I still struggle with that. And part of cleaning up the mess is cleaning up your internal mess too, and dealing with your inner critic. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything more else?
No.
More to come.
We can keep talking about this topic next. Yeah. Your next podcast. Yeah.
All right. All right. Go, you know, let me just invite you to, the invitation here is to go and maybe start small and just permit a little mess to happen and see what happens, clean it up, see what creativity comes out of it. So if you're willing to give it a try, go put it into practice. All right.